We live our lives on social media. That's been the truth for a while now, hasn't it? You know, when I think back about it, when I first started off, all you would do was just share random photographs because that's what we thought people wanted. But over a period of time, that sense of basic expression became a larger way of expressing everything that is about being human, actually. And then it extended further, right? I helped build community. You know, you met people, you became friends with people, you interacted with them. It also then really helped you put stuff across that, you know, forwarded your way of thinking, your business, a pursuit you have, something that's a side gig or is something that you actually do day in and day out. There are so many things that have happened to us because of social media. But over the last couple of weeks and months for some, it's actually taken a whole different role. It's substituted what we can't do right now. We can't get out of our houses. We can't, you know, go meet our friends. We can't. But on a day-to-day basis, when we wake up, and for me, I open Instagram and you scroll through, you see what all your friends are doing. You're seeing what they're all doing at home. Everything from how they're working out to how they're expressing themselves to all the funny things they're putting up. Everyone's using the sticker stay home. And the more and more I think about it, if we didn't have, you know, Instagram and many of the social networks, I don't think we would be able to get through what we were going through right now. And especially Instagram, right? Because, you know, I think we turned to that. I was looking at how much time I spend on Instagram on a day-to-day basis, and I realized I spent close to an hour and a half on it, especially over the last couple of weeks. And that didn't make me feel worried, because it's kind of is my happy place. It's where I go to find my community. It's where I've actually, you know, I kind of feel like I'm connected to something larger. And so I thought it'd be interesting to kind of have a chat with some people from Instagram. So this week I have Tara Berry, the Public Policy and Community Outreach Manager, and Niharika Pandey, the Strategy Partner Manager at Instagram. And I had a long conversation with them on a wide range of things, right? I mean, especially now there are so many aspects in the COVID time that we need to discuss, but also wider things like how they actually work with creators, how are they helping build more safety into the system, and really, where did they start off to end up where they are today? All this and more on this week's episode of Advertising is Dead. I'm Varun Dugirala, co-founder and content chief at The Glitch, and we'll be right back with this. Or rather, what I've been saying, we'll be right back with advertising in the time of a pandemic. Welcome back to Advertising is Dead. I'm with Tara and Niharika. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
And normally it would have been great to do this in person, in a studio. That gives a certain vibe, but the times we're in, I guess this is the best we can do. Just for people who are listening right now, we're on a Zoom call, so audio will go on and off and sideways from time to time. So bear with that. We'll try and do as best as we can. Plus, for some reason, when I look at the screen in front of me right now, everybody else has names and I have a random photograph of me there. Which I shall at some point take a photograph of and put out just to kind of show you all what happens when you record podcasts remotely and video starts screwing with the audio. How have the last couple of weeks been for both of you? Either of you.
I think at a personal level, I have been sort of self-isolating or social distancing. Well, people have laughed that I have been social distancing my whole life, so this is probably my time to shine. I have been consciously social distancing to prevent getting this virus for about almost 10 days before the lockdown happened. So I don't even know how many days it's been. I think it's a tricky time. It's a time that I think makes a lot of people nervous. But it's also a time I think that a lot of people are just sitting back and reflecting on just how they spend their time, how they channel their energies, how to stay sane, how to just be mindful about life in general, whether it's the way that you consume, whether it's the way that you work, how you conduct yourself with the people that you share your space with. So I think it's definitely a really interesting time as well. And obviously, we've seen a lot of activity on Instagram, and I know Niharika is going to talk a little bit about that. But it's also been really heartening to see just different people show up for complete strangers and sometimes total loved ones. I'm just excited to share some of that with you guys later, but I'll pass on to Niharika now.
Yeah, Yeah, I think I'm definitely not as cautious as Tara. So for me, it's been a lockdown from the time it was a lockdown. And it's weird, right? There's some days which feel like there are just multiple days blending into one to one endless day because you're repeating everything like pretty much from the time you wake up. And the other times you're actually feeling really grateful for the small joys you do have, right? Which is, you know, a call with your family or doing something fun for a friend who has a birthday. So it's really interesting how our sort of expectation of what is fun and what is sort of really bringing gratitude has sort of suddenly shifted so dramatically. So that's been interesting. I think personally for me, you know, it's a lot more of cooking, more than I've ever done. And that's been a bit of a personal challenge. But yeah, it's like, you know, you're learning new skills, you're adapting. And I think that's the beauty of people in general. Like, it's just resilience. I think people are just figuring it out and working. So that's you know, it's good to kind of see that. But yeah, I think, you know, hopefully it'll be a time we can look back at some point in the future and sort of take some of this stuff through as well, right? I think what I'm not sure of is like how much of this will new, you know, once things get back to normal, whatever that normal is. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, I think it's, you know, overall media, like, you know, Varun, we were speaking earlier, like our own consumption has sort of shot through the roof. And
yeah.
And it's crazy, right? Because it's not just about consuming, but also seeing so many incredible like artists and creators and people like just kind of, you know, throw open their hearts on social media, on Instagram, where you're suddenly seeing a lot of interesting innovations happen that, you know, wouldn't have even existed like 2 weeks ago. So yeah. I think that again is pretty phenomenal.
You know, I've been speaking to a bunch of creators who I've known for a while, and every one of them has turned to me and said, this is the most productive time they've had as creators because they've actually had so much more time to work on their content and work on what they can create and to innovate. Yeah. And many of them are literally like, okay, this is like we're going at, you know, at it all guns blazing. And it's interesting that we get so caught up in doing what we do in our day-to-day lives that sometimes, like both of you said, kind of sitting back and doing this, especially if you're a creator and especially if you have platforms which enable you to create, there's so much more you can actually do. As Instagram, we also added a bunch of things that people can actually do during this time as well, right? I mean, there has been a push towards enabling not just from a creation standpoint, but also from just kind of looking at it as a community and safety standpoint as well. So maybe we'll start community and safety, right? So how has, what kind of pieces have happened in that space of things?
So I'll jump in here for that. I think a few things. The most important and the most, I guess, visible thing, even though it looks very lightweight and fun, we launched a sticker on Instagram, which means you can use it on your Instagram stories, and it's a stay-home sticker. So there's a no-text version, there's an English version, and there's a Hindi version that says Ghar Pe Raho. And the idea is really simple. It's literally to get, you know, to get people to use the sticker, to look at them, to have them see it being used by the people that they love and follow. And it encourages a behavior that I think everyone is trying to encourage, which is to stay home, which is to social distance. I mean, of course, we realize that it is a bit of a privilege and not everybody has that luxury. And in other markets, we've also launched a sticker called Thanking Our Health Heroes, which, mm-hmm. again, I think was a huge moment, even for us in India with the Prime Minister's call during the Janta curfew. To take a moment to thank the people that are kind of providing these frontline essential services that allow us to be at home and social distancing. So I think that's the one that I'm actually most proud of. And it's also really fun to see the ways in which people are showing what's going on at home. I can talk a little bit about myself, and I promise I'm not plugging myself because I tell everybody this. But I have a compost pit. I really love my compost pit. It blows my mind every month when I see it out that all of my food waste is just reduced to khad for my plants. And then my plants are flowering. It's just like one big happy family on that front. But it's just really nice to see. I know Niharika posted one asking people to share what they have on their walls. So it's also been a really fun journey to look at people's houses and what their natural habitats are. So I think that's a really fun but important thing that we launched. Another thing that we did actually before this was these notifications. So the minute that anyone opens their app in India and in a lot of other countries, and we're still rolling it out in every country, But the minute you open the app, the first thing you see is a link that points you to the WHO or your local health authority, which is where you can get legitimate, vetted, real information around how to stay safe in these times. I think that was a really important tool. Sometimes, you know, we forget that we have, like, our own app is such a big megaphone and our community is large, you know, globally. We have over a billion people that use it. So the first thing that we did want to do is make sure that people are being directed to the right kind of information. Along with that, we've also, you know, worked on misinformation and preventing the spread of misinformation. And we have very robust policies around that that limit bad information from reaching people. When things are extremely harmful and have the potential for harm, we remove that content. We don't allow ads for certain kinds of COVID-related content. So there is a lot of work that's happening to make sure people are being directed to the right kind of information and aren't being exposed to information that may lead to harm for them. I think that's the three sort of biggest things that we've been up to. There's a whole bunch of other work in terms of supporting, you know, MyGov in terms of, again, amplifying good content. Another one, and I know I've been rambling on and on, but the one thing I think that is really important and we will see the effects of much more beyond this is the mental health of people and people's mental well-being. You know, and it's everything from just the fear and anxiety and grief of what's going on. It's the sort of distancing and the isolation. Not everybody has, you know, the best home situation. Some people don't even have others at home, or they might be in homes that are not ideal for them to be in. Yeah. So just people's mental health now that they are in this situation. And then, of course, the sort of usual mental health conversation of spending way too much time online, looking at news too often, looking at content too often. So just kind of thinking about these and supporting our mental health and suicide prevention partners that run helplines, because these are challenging times. So supporting them, making sure they're helping them amplify their work, connecting them with other partners who have larger reach. And we can get into details later, but I just wanted to point to this one very, very important piece of work that I think everyone is working on across the board and highlighting it.
I was just going to just before we kind of come in, I thought what'd be interesting also is that from everything that that you said, Tara, I think what's also interesting is that, and this is where I guess what, which is why both of you would also end up working so closely together, is because the way I see it, on one end, if you look at the kind of pieces people are putting out, is that everyone's sharing information. I think obviously, everyone's trying to, and also calling each other out. What I've actually noticed, especially during this time, is that when someone, like I shared something from someone I thought was a credible source, and someone wrote back to me immediately. And again, it's also a community thing, right? Someone wrote back to me saying,
"Yes,
I don't think you should post this because I don't think it's verified." And I went back and checked, and this person who had shared it had shared it from someone else. And so I immediately took it off, right? And I think that's also really happening. The whole community piece is kind of coming in. What's also coming in is that people are really trying to find ways to make each other feel happier. While everyone's feeling, I mean, obviously everyone's jumping off the walls when because they've been stuck at home for a while. People like me have discovered that staying at home is amazing. And like, I don't know how I ever want to wear pants and go back to work again. I think that's really where it's interesting, right? So even if you're a creator today, even if you are a regular person on the platform, what I've really seen is that everyone's trying to, I think community building is at its peak right now.
I mean, absolutely. I feel like this has been actually a very eye-opening time almost, right? For personally, for me as well, like I think you can tend to get a little cynical about media and about just content overall. It can feel too much like a business sometimes. But what's been incredible is just this organic burst of just, you know, showing up for each other that's happened. And it's literally almost feels orchestrated, but it's not, because everybody just wants to bring their talent, their art, their whatever they can offer to the world, like out there, right? And like really listening to their community and being, okay, what can I do for you? How are you feeling? How can I make you feel better? So that's, I think, really what has been the most incredible part about Instagram right now. We have so many examples, right? Like you have food creators who are now helping you figure out what to cook while you're in quarantine. You know, like you have folks who had never done like all sorts of new programming that has started, right? So there is Mornings with Goila, which is making breakfast with someone and kind of understanding what their routine is like, which is a really fun way to kind of engage people as well as showcase some really simple recipes they can do themselves. Yeah. We have folks who are doing good news updates, right? So Patul Khatri does this really fun good news of the day sort of, you know, almost stand-up kind of content. I just saw before we started, you know, recording, I just saw Faye put up in a post saying that should I do an Instagram live about the good news of the day? You know, every day, and are you guys interested in that? So it just feels like, you know, everyone's kind of figuring out what it is that the community needs. They're like really being, they're really hearing it out and then coming up and showing up for them, you know, in ways that are very innovative. And it doesn't have to always be like just, you know, coming in and kind of trying to give information. It's also, like you said, helping them through this time with maybe some humor, you know, and maybe some comedy, like a lot of music. I mean, we just did something called Live in Your Living Room, which was 15 artists who went live from their living room and just did these wonderful sets for folks who were sitting in on a Sunday on the first day of lockdown, first weekend of lockdown. And it was just so nice to kind of, you know, hear good music, you know, put it up on your Bluetooth and see this community sort of just following everybody from one account to the other and pretty much having a concert at home, ending with like a DJ set at midnight, like literally a party night. And that was just a good way to kind of forget a bit about what was going on. So, I mean, that's been, and it's been like a big bear hug, I feel, you know, almost from the creator community to, you know, the folks who are on Instagram. And you feel pretty lucky to be kind of just witnessing this in some way. So yeah, and I totally love your point about keeping each other accountable as well. I think that's something which we see very actively because people, you know, we always talk about this, that when you talk about Instagram, people typically start saying, yeah, this is what happens on my Instagram. Like they don't talk about Instagram as a product. It's very personal. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of like, I will call you out and I'll be like, hey, this isn't what I think you should stand for. Or, you know, I'm following you because I believe you can do better. Mm. So I love that. Like, it's very honest. It's very real. It's kind of like, this isn't working for me or it is not. So it can be pretty cruel. It can be very real at times, but I think it's very good feedback and it's coming from the heart. So I think that's something we would love for, I mean, that's what really Instagram stands for, right? Which is personal, it's accountable, it's something you take, you really focus on, you know, for yourself. So yeah.
You know, what's interesting is that about when I started doing this podcast, right, this is going to be, I think, 71 episodes in. I would post on Instagram like how any person posts on Instagram, right? You'd have some personal photographs, a holiday photograph here and there. And then over time, as I started putting, stuff up, I realized that suddenly after a couple of months that my entire feed was just episode creatives and nothing else. And someone turned to me and said, why aren't you posting a lot more stuff? And I was like, I don't know if I'm a creator. And they're like, you're creating a podcast. You can be, that means that you are a creator. So I actually sat back and for me, like Instagram has become my primary platform to interact with my audience. So for me, Instagram direct messages is where I actually, I've tweaked how the content is and where I like to focus on. Basically, the messages I get on Instagram entirely over the last year. I moved my account to a creator account. And what was interesting was that people genuinely just you can have long conversations. Also, not what you would expect from what Instagram is at surface level, right? If you're a new user, which I don't know who's a new user because everybody's on it. But
No, there are lots of new users. And by the way, I just love that you called out the creator account. So, well done.
That's awesome. Can I also do one more plug here? Sorry. Since you brought up DMs and how awesome it is, I don't know if you read, Varun, we just launched a new feature where if you video call on DMs, you can actually now share posts that you've liked with the people that you're on the video call with. So it's like watching or looking at content together, and therefore it's a sort of shared experience. Which I think is super cool, but I leave it to people to try out and see.
No, that's a lot of fun. So I have a lot of Instagram groups. I have one which is a bunch of people who work together with me in our content team at Glitch. I have one with my friends from college. And our entire group is just us sharing stuff between us. And now this is coming. So it's just, and if anybody ever sees that, huge judgment on the kind of stuff that is shared and commented on. So thank God it's only in the DM and not out.
You have but, control, yeah.
Yeah, and but it's interesting. I mean, if I go going back to the community thing, right? For me, it's been like I realized a large part of my audience was students because of the messages I got, which is why the focus became a lot more about someone who wants to enter this entire space and what can they kind of learn before coming in, which they wouldn't learn in a college or on a, or in an internship.
Right.
And I think that thing is now extended, right? I think the worry now from students, which I'm hearing, is that, okay, I mean, people who are supposed to go for internships right now can't go for internships.
Yeah.
People are worried about their jobs, you're going to get jobs. I think in between all of that, the fact that there is positivity being shared a lot more than anything else, especially on Instagram, because for me, it's always been a very positive platform, right? I would wake up in the morning, first platform you go to is Instagram, because you know you're going to get something happy. I don't believe anybody who says this is how I woke up, because that is never true. but apart from that, I would say that that's the whole, that's what kind of pulls people in is a bad way to put it, but I think that's what keeps people engaged on it.
Yeah,
but that's kind of our point also. I mean, that's our goal really, is to make sure that people feel safe for the platform and that it is very much their space. And Nihalika, you were saying that like the goal is really to, like, it's my Insta. I own it. It's my space. I choose to let in certain people. I choose not to let in people. I'm held accountable by my community. And that's really kind of the goal, is to make sure that we are enabling a space that people feel free to have conversations, to share their interests and passions, but also to perhaps have dialogue and disagreements in a respectful and kind way. And that's really for us the goal that we've been pushing forward. I know you just spoke about that your user base is largely college kids, Varun.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure you've spoken with Nikhil Taneja, who runs Yuva, who is one of our partners, and we've been on this journey with him at least for some part, for a big part of last year and some part of this year. And he's actually been going and talking to college students around the world and really sort of driving home this idea of your story is important and it's your voice, and how to kind of really own your voice and show up for yourself and do it in a way and enable other people while you're doing that. And, you know, he's been focusing on issues like mental well-being, on gender sensitivity, on loneliness, on how to, again, just create and facilitate safe conversations. And I think that's something that's really important. And I think the biggest learning that we've seen through him and his amazing project that he's on is that it's people want to talk. Everybody has a story. They want to share that story. And they want to be respected for having that experience. And it's really... That's about it. Nobody's asking.
And they're just looking for someone to listen. They don't necessarily want a solution. I think that's how my whole DM journey on Instagram started, is that a lot of time, I think people message and don't expect a response. And I tend to respond to everybody no matter what I'm saying. If I don't know, I don't know when I respond. I have a zero inbox problem. I think I take that for my DMs as well. And what ended up happening was that most people would say, I said, I don't know, maybe check and get back if I can. And they would be like, we're just happy that you responded. And for me, has been one of those learnings which kind of has stayed. And that's actually how I started interacting with a lot of the creators as well. I mean, a lot of the creators and I kind of jam about a bunch of things, which I honestly didn't think they would even, like, I know a lot of them actually heard the podcast, right? And they would write to me and say, oh, I listen to it, I really like it. And then my little, like, after two sentences, my thing would be, do you want to come on it? And that's how a lot of these things have happened. And now I actually end up talking to them a lot more. What more have you seen, Niharika, in terms of how creators are kind of like, because also they're restricted in the things they can create. What are you seeing them use, which has kind of been like, it's something that's new for now and so kind of might stay?
Yeah, I think one thing that's really sort of gone off the charts is IG Lives.
Yeah.
It's always been a very key part of Instagram. It's something that, you know, we've seen a lot of creators use effectively, but this is like usage like never before, right? So we've had a 60% increase just week on week, like in the last, you know, week itself, in terms of just the number of, you know, viewers and the kind of consumption that we're seeing Instagram Live drive. And the reason it's kind of like obvious, right? Like people just want to connect right now. They want to just have that real-time feedback, converse, do a performance, do workouts, whatever, right? And these are things we hadn't really imagined. Like, could this have happened 3 weeks ago? Sure, you could have done a workout on Instagram Live. But you never thought of it, right? So it's happening now because you're kind of constrained and people are trying to find innovative ways to kind of, you know, reach out to their you know, community. So I think that's one which is definitely something that has been, and it's across the world, not just India. We're seeing that across the world. You must have seen the concerts that have happened with Coldplay. Yeah. And I mean, it's incredible stuff, right? So that's something that right now I know our engineering team is spending a lot of time making sure that lives are stable and we're able to handle the kind of consumption that's really happening, because this has been something that's really skyrocketed. And I do hope that some of this will continue. I feel creators are really enjoying that live experience. Like yesterday there was a live between Rohit Sharma and Bumrah, and I just happened to catch like the end of it, and they were literally just talking about what's happening and the fact that IPL is cancelled, and it was such a fun interaction. And they were like, you could see like the, you know, their teams like trolling them in the comments, and I could see that they're also kind of like, they had not done this before, and they were just like, this is not too bad, like this is fun, you know. So I feel like this kind of you know, I think it is changing a little bit how, you know, folks are expressing themselves. So I do hope, and I'm pretty sure a lot of this will continue, and I think that's definitely interesting. I think the second thing is kind of related to what, you know, Tara spoke about earlier as well. I do feel that because Instagram is a place where you really bring your whole self, right? I mean, it's not just entertainment, or it's not just like, hey, I'm just going to share this one particular skill I have and then you don't see anything best about me, right? It's about bringing your whole self to the platform. So people are also sharing like, you know, things around anxiety or around like stuff that they're finding difficult. And I feel that's a really powerful place because, again, I'm going back to the fact that it's a safe space even for creators. You know, they're able to not just, you know, express themselves, but also help their communities through it. Like a lot of the creators have young followers, you know, their exams are canceled, you know, they don't know what's happening. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty in this time. So I'm also seeing some of them kind of respond to that and kind of give them confidence, or at least share with them a few things that might be helping them, whatever they feel comfortable doing, or just showing up. I think what you just said, right? Just hearing them out and kind of replying to their comment and saying, hey, I hear you, I see you. That goes such a long way in kind of giving folks this feeling of like, you know, belonging in some way. And that's something we always, you know, encourage creators to do. It's like, don't just, you know, like respond to comments, talk to them, because that's all, you know, folks are trying to, you know, achieve at this point, which is just have some sort of a connect. So I think that's the second piece where I feel like, you know, just overall on the whole, you know, how is everybody coping with this? I think that's a conversation that I feel, and people could have different responses. Somebody could do a conversation on it. Somebody could do a fun, let me tell you the good news instead. Somebody could do, hey, let me help you work out. But it's always coming with, you're trying to come with a solution on what they can offer, you know, in that situation. So I think that's another really interesting trend where they're diversifying perhaps from what they were doing earlier, but kind of also focusing on a slightly larger picture of what creators can offer. And I think third is, you know, that whole mother is necessity is the mother of invention situation. Like you don't have your studio, you don't have your editor, you don't have your groups to collaborate with. So there is some fun stuff, right? You see like crazy things happening on at home, you're like shooting with your mom, you're getting your dad to try out stuff. Like that is what I find amazing. And that's my favorite type of content, because it is such a human look at the creator and the face behind, like the real life behind somebody who's making content, you know? So I've seen like a lot of fun stuff there. Even fashion, like what was interesting is that we just looked at top hashtags in this time in the last 2 weeks. And you'd be surprised, like you had the obvious ones like Corona and, you know, Janta Curfew and things like that. But stuff that was coming up were bodybuilding, fashion, which means that, you know, it's still a positive space. People are doing quarantine fashion. They're trying to figure out what you wear at home, what you wear on VCs, you know, how do you like just make yourself look good in a Zoom call. So it's really interesting. Like they're really sort of adapting to that. Yeah. So
I call it waste of fashion, like, in most that sense.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I saw a great illustration of like waist up looks all being these very formal safe looks. And then underneath it's everything from like, but just to echo one thing that Harika said, I think the one thing that has really, really blown my mind is actually seeing people in this kind of unfettered door space. So I love the fact that there are mess ups in videos. I love the fact that if somebody, I saw a chef making some like make do with anything I have at home cookies, which had some flax seed and peanut butter and apricots, and it didn't sound that great, but I imagine it was. But like for me, my favorite part of it was not the recipe and the fact that it was great, like vegan gluten-free food. It was the fact that his child, while he was trying to see a very sort of like serious recipe, was just digging, putting his hand into a vat of peanut butter and just spreading it all over. It's just like, oh no, this is so messy. But I love it because he was just like rolling through it unfazed, and I don't know. I think that's what I'm really enjoying is this is, it doesn't feel like content anymore, you know? It doesn't feel like it's been created. It feels very much like looking into somebody's life in a respectful, consensual way.
Yeah, yeah, no, sorry, you're seeing Katrina Kaif wash her dishes, right? I mean, it's like, okay, this is how real it can get.
Katrina and Deepika are competing about who's going to put the Jhado photo first and putting up the this thing, which is
Exactly.
So, I think what's also been interesting, I mean, the fact that the last part you spoke about how people are, the fact that content creation is now very raw because this is all that we have. And it's kind of also liberating, right? And I'll give an example. So I've always done my recordings in a studio. I've never kind of, very rarely have I said, no, a call won't sound great and this and that. But when I actually am, and maybe it won't be like we're all sitting in one space and having that conversation. I've actually realized it doesn't matter as much. And the audio quality obviously suffers some extent, but I realized the audience actually wants more consistency. And the same goes for content put out on a platform, right? Is that, like, give an example. So for the last 4 months, I've been considering putting video content on Instagram out. I have done everything from buying cameras to buying that one ring light to try and figure out which angle, where in my house I will shoot. Till I sat back about 3 days ago and I said, I will just shoot it. What's the worst? I'm looking at what everybody else is putting out. I will just do an IG live instead of doing an AMA episode. I will just put up any pieces. I just put one frame. Who cares right now? Everyone just wants content. I think that's what's happened. A lot of us who've been held back because of traditional structures in our head because we're so used to set and lights and camera and all that stuff are saying, fuck it, let's just make stuff and put it out there. That's what's really happened.
Yeah. And that's incredible. That's amazing. Like, that's such a great environment to sort of be in, where you just are a little bit no holds barred and, you know, you're okay making mistakes. And, you know, I think people are also responding to that. So,
Is there any scenario, any cases of late where you've had any of the creators kind of reach out and say, oh, can we do this? Or can we, or has that not really happened as much?
Can we do this as in?
Like, any form of support that they're kind of asking for to kind of understand if they can do X, Y, and Z? Any
interesting? So the way we work with creators and, you know, overall with our partners on Instagram is that, you know, we actually have a pretty highly engaged model. Like, we try and reach out to as many as we can, and we already work quite closely with them. So I think what we have tried to really do is really come up with resources that are useful for them at this stage. And, you know, I'm happy to share some links later if you think that's helpful for people to kind of see, because it's, you know, open for most. But, like, how do you do Instagram lives at home? Like, how do you make sure IGTV content, like, how do you make a makeshift studio at home? You know, like, we literally have come up with, like, these one pagers to, like, share with creators to be like, hey, you know, you can hack your way through most things, and this is what you should keep in mind, and these are the resources. Like, if you're doing an Instagram live, make sure you're also using the story sticker before that to get questions, you know, and make sure you're promoting it with a countdown sticker. So, you know, like, just making sure that all of the resources that are available on the platform are things that they are ready to kind of go with. They're also getting a lot of interest in kind of doing, you know, more stuff like the live in the living room variety, right? Like, can we get a collaboration together? Can we bring, like, can I and, you know, like, three or four folks I work with, like, can we do something together on Instagram? Could it be a live? Maybe it's other performances. And we are very happy to kind of engage and support, especially on these things, because, again, it's about the community. It's about, like, a larger movement, really, you know? So it's like, a lot of those ideas are coming in as well. And I think that, like, from our perspective, like, we are like, the two things that we are focusing on broadly, right? One is making sure that our creators are doing well, because, you know, it's also a tough time for them. Like, to be very honest, a lot of their plans are on hold, and a lot of their, you know, like, campaigns could be on hold, you know, how they, like, a lot of deals could be on hold. Like, there's a lot of stress that a creator or anybody who's sort of working independently could also be going through. So we are sort of, one, making sure that they're doing fine and they have the resources that we can offer so that they're able to sort of continue doing whatever they can and kind of make that pivot. And the second is, you know, really open to thinking through any innovation. You know, I think a lot of them want to also just ideate. I think you mentioned this earlier. This is the first time people are taking a step back to kind of also sit down and think about, okay, what do I want to stand for? Like, it's not just a machine making content. It's kind of like, what do I want to do now? You know, so we love having those conversations. Like, we are doing them over VCs or Zooms or calls, and just ideating on saying, okay, what else can you think about? What could make sense? You know, how do you make sure that this lands well? So yeah, that's kind of like where our time and energy is really going, and kind of like making sure that at least, you know, like, it is a bit of a trial and error stage as well, but, you know, we are trying to equip them to kind of navigate this as best as they can.
Tara, just coming to the whole the community outreach part of it, right? Before your role at Instagram, how is this kind of stuff you've done? Like, if I kind of go a little more flashback on that front, what are the kind of, I just want to run through your journey, right, in terms of how that's kind of led you to this point, and how that's kind of driven the way you function in your role. I think I just kind of drive back a little bit on that front.
So my journey is a bit wonky. I do not come from a policy background. I have more of a media background. I used to work in film production. I worked for about 5 years until I had one sort of, I think, disastrous experience on a feature film. And after that, I was like, because I think you have to be really, really in love with that journey and that process to work together. And then after that, I was kind of meandering. I was dating a photojournalist for a long time, and he was doing a bunch of amazing projects. So together we, I think the project that really landed was something called Nepal Photo Project, which was aggregating the aftermath of the earthquakes that happened in Nepal in 2015. But not in a newsy way, but through the sort of personal narratives of people that were experiencing it. So people who were like generally regular people in Nepal, and then also volunteers and businesses and just photographers and independent journalists, and how they were also kind of capturing this completely transforming landscape. And that's when we also realized that this is something really cool that Instagram can do. It's not just like a... depending on how you choose to channel it, it can really serve multiple purposes and functions for you. And I think what we realized with that was that there's something powerful in seeing a collective or an aggregated macro perspective on incidents like these. And really what we saw was that the narrative shifted, you know, and it kind of all came back to community at the end of it, where it was first just sharing information about who's safe and how to keep safe and where to get relief and how to volunteer and how to donate funds, and so many deaths and so many sort of displacements, etc. And from that, it went very quickly to, like, you know, We Will Rise and people coming together and people from India. I remember these bikers from Assam wrote to me saying that, listen, we have fuel, we have bikes, and we have able hands and legs. So if you can point us to the right case, we'd love to go and help. And then similarly, I know there was an organization from Manipur that was familiar with using bamboo and sort of rammed mud to make earthquake-resistant housing, who were just like, how can we go and teach Nepali people how to create more resilient housing, given that they live in this new reality of being, you know, very earthquake-prone. I think what we just saw was this amazing movement of people wanting to help, people wanting to reach out, people having these stories, and it painting a very different view from this anonymized sort of devastation porn, if I can use that term, of like people coming into a place, taking photographs that are very staged and very sort of, you know, impersonal, and just creating a narrative of a country that doesn't really live that experience. And that's what landed me this job, I think, because the Instagram co-founders took note of it and they kind of cited it as one of those like interesting use cases of a product that they hadn't imagined. And I think that's what got me this gig. And really what we, I think, between the film background and this, the Nepal project and all of many other things in between, I think what I really like is the idea that different communities express themselves in unique ways on different platforms. And it's something that I'm really interested in mapping and being part of, is helping enable communities express themselves in an empowering and safe way.
Do you think that also kind of lends into like this entire journey? It does lend into like the Counter Speech Fellowship, which you work on.
Yeah.
Does this kind of also then drive into that in terms of how that works?
Yeah, that's an interesting connection. I don't think I'd ever thought of it, but the Counter Speech Fellowship is something that we were just trying to figure out a good sort of program for young people that is Instagram friendly, and it's a program for teenagers, to roughly 13 to 18. It runs in 8 cities and in India and Nepal right now. But really the idea is to show parents, weirdly enough, it is to show parents and teachers and policymakers that Instagram, if again channeled correctly, needn't be a waste of time. You know, everyone thinks that like my child is always on their phone, they're always looking at random nonsense content, they're not playing outside, they're not studying. And we were like, no, just take a step back and take a look at what this thing serves for people. What purpose does this serve for people? You know, we find people connect with each other around mental health and supporting each other in mental health journey. We see so much content. It's really incredible. I think most people will tell you, and most creators will tell you this, that for every bad comment that they get, there's an army of supporters that will just bash the troll on their behalf. So they don't often have to do that bad work for themselves. Like, they'll find that their community shows up for them for, you know, random sort of appearance-based comments. So the fellowship is really anchored towards empowering teens to express themselves around issues that are very local to them. So bullying, mental health and well-being, gender equality, sustainability, which is not something that we were sort of thinking about, but the kids are like, this is a really important thing that we'd like to talk about. Mm. And just kind of, again, creating an online environment that is safe and respectful and to introduce alternate perspectives that are outside of the mainstream narrative. But again, to do it in a way that's respectful. And, you know, we've seen, it's crazy, these kids, and I keep saying kids and I keep it out to myself not to say kids, these people.
I say that all the time. It's I think it's a natural tendency to get into that.
No, but the amazing thing is that content has reached, like, it's a three-year-old program. And I mean, these are not creators. These are not pros. But they're budding pros, and their content has reached 30 million was like about end of last year. So by now, I would say it's like maybe around 35-40 million people have viewed their content. So it's not an insignificant number. So this becomes a way for us really to show all of these older people that yes, by all means, Instagram, if used in a particular way, could be a giant waste of time. But really what we are our hope is that the time that people spend on Instagram is positive, it's intentional, and it's inspiring, and it helps people if it's channeled in that way. So that's kind of what the fellowship is about. And we run it with our amazing partner called Young Leaders Factory Citizenship. They also go by YLAC. You should talk to them, by the way. They're great.
Yeah, I want to make sure I do. And Niharika, you on the other end started off in the media space from the beginning, right?
So I actually studied journalism, which is where I really started, but never really practiced as a journalist because very quickly I sort of moved more on the business side or the production side, I would say. So I've had like a stint with news. I then worked in consulting for media companies and then sort of spent almost about 6 years at Star, where I did a bunch of roles, including sort of working on the first version of Hotstar, which was starsports.com, and then eventually with Hotstar. Landed up in Facebook about 3 years ago, where I started again with the news side first in partnerships and then, you know, sort of moved to Instagram, I think partly driven by my own increasing consumption of the product. So eventually sort of made my way there. So I've been mostly in the media space and I think it's been very interesting to see sort of the transition that entire industry has also gone through, like in the last 10, 11 years.
If you look at your time, especially in television, right, and looking at what you do now, obviously at that point as well, there would have been at least a large part of it where you would end up. I mean, the word creator is a new age term, but I think creators have always been there. It's just they've been in different shapes and forms. Right. Like many people like to call themselves filmmakers. I'm like, you're a creator. Just put yourself under that bucket, right? I'm like, you don't necessarily have to go like, I don't think we have like specialization problems anymore. Everybody is everything. when you look at how, you know, I would say creators worked then versus, let's say, the creators you work with now through Instagram, how have you seen... have you seen a large shift in mindset or is it largely the same with just the unnecessary, with no disrespect, unnecessary old school egos not coming in the way is how I like to put it. But,
I mean, that's a very interesting question. I think I would say it's actually quite different. I do agree with you that this always existed in some shape or form, but I would say that, you know, looking back, I would say even 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I don't think you still had that crazy... I think that time sort of YouTube was sort of just bursting on the scene, you started seeing like a couple of big names come up, like AIB, TVF, like you started seeing that sort of crop up, but it was literally them, right? Like after that, there wasn't this whole massive, anybody, like it was kind of like hard to find the fourth or the fifth or the tenth name. So I think that was sort of, and even at a television level, I mean, thanks to what you mentioned, you know, you would want to work with very specific names because you're like, you know, who are these people? Like, you know, they're just trying to explain, you know, who a younger creator is. It's always a complicated matter when you're sitting in a boardroom. So I think that was a challenge. Whereas I think one of the things that's changing, of course, was just like, because of those examples, you know, you saw so many more people come in. And I think where we are today, where it's such a democratic space, where you literally started by saying that everyone is a creator, and I totally agree with you. Like today, it's very different. And it's just getting, honestly, I feel younger and younger. You know, I meet people who are sort of early 20s and they are just so on it. Like they know what they want to do. They understand. I think the one big shift I'm seeing is they understand video in a way I don't think I ever understood it at that age, right?
Yeah.
Like they just think video. You know, so they just, and they know what shots to take, they know how to plan it, they know what, like, you know, they, if they have even like a 2 minute thing to create, they will start, like they would have planned it like a week in advance. And I don't even know if it's about that old school thing of let me take a paper and pen and like draw out my shot sequence. And you know, I don't think it's that. It's just something they intuitively know. And I think that's what for me is very exciting. It's a new language. It's something that, you know, we're also like, I'm also educating myself and learning on, but I think that's what really keeps it fresh and innovative. So yeah, I do think it's a very different world. I do feel actually now a lot of the traditional companies are also seeing the power of the space. And I think that's how they're engaging. Potentially maybe just from a marketing brand perspective right now. But over time, I'm sure it will also come up in content creation. Like we see that, like at least some of the aggregators like Amazon, etc. have started working a lot more, I think, with creators directly as well. But I do see that shift happening. I don't think that would have happened.
Yeah. I see a lot of FMCG brands. I know I was pointing it out to you guys, but I think I saw like a bunch of artists, and if I had to isolate one community that I love most from Instagram, it's artists and illustrators. Mm. And so incredibly talented, sometimes so young, and I just feel somewhere a little bit of pity for myself in terms of, you know, life goals. But I've seen a lot of brands work with...
As well, I have no talent, like...
But I think I've seen a lot of brands work with artists and illustrators, and it's been really interesting to see their take on a product. We saw it with, and I hope it's okay to name brands here, but like I saw one for Fruity that I love, which they had a bunch of artists and creators just share their experience about Fruity, which I think is such an old school nostalgic Indian thing. Similarly, even with Converse shoes, I remember seeing it. And a bunch of business, like big brands and FMCG companies do it. And I think it's a really interesting counterpoint, because whenever we think Instagram, we always think of it as, you know, the ultimate home for small businesses and sort of niche boutique businesses that are coming up, which I also find very exciting on Instagram. You see a lot of incredible products made at home sometimes by people who just really care about that one amazing offering that they have.
And I mean, this entire content and commerce play is really like, it's really, I mean, one, it's obviously, you know, really new and exciting in India, and we're seeing a lot of action there. Of course, now with the current situation, you know, things will take time to stabilize. But I think, yeah, that's really the future, right? Like content and commerce, making sure this entire community comes together with small businesses. And we're seeing a lot of great examples of that. And they thrive on IG specifically. Like, I think that's really their home.
Yeah. Varun, what do you like on Instagram? What do you like?
That is a very interesting question. What am I like on Instagram?
Actually, let's stick to that one.
Instagram versus
what reality. What do you like on Instagram? Yeah.
So I have this problem on, like, okay, there is the consumer me on Instagram and there is the creator me on Instagram, right? As a consumer, I actually started sharing all the random stuff that I enjoy a lot more. Yeah. I repost a lot. I use one of those repost apps, and I realize that sometimes, like I said, when you lack talent to actually come up with so many things, sometimes you find stuff which you feel more people should see and you kind of share that.
Curation is a talent. Is a talent.
Yeah.
My Nepal photo project feed was all other people's content. We attributed it to them, of course, but it was all their content.
And but I also like, so I went through a phase after my daughter was born where I would just like, so I would make a lot of these weird videos with her as a baby, but like I would like, I was later made to take them off of my highlights because my wife Pooja said, you know, she's going to get scarred by when she gets older and this is out there in your highlights, because it was literally like it was bizarre stuff. Like I would add stickers on top of her face and there would be like something playing in the background. And yeah, so I stopped doing that. But in general, I think what I like to consume a lot of, I mean, while there's a humor in the meme stuff, which obviously is is a great go-to in life. Like
especially I feel. Memes are keeping me afloat, frankly.
So I recently had two of the guys from Pocket Aces on the show, which was Viraj and Pulkit. And I just love what those boys created. And I was telling them, how do you guys even do what you do? And they have like no end of idea. And they gave me so many pointers about how I could create. I literally messaged them saying, how did you come up with this? And they'll always very sweetly tell me how they came up with it and how they're doing it.
I thought you were going to say, they very sweetly tell me, please mind your business.
No, they were
impolite version of that.
Again, it's you know, it's so sweet that they're like, when I was chatting with them, they were like, are you sure you want us on the podcast? I'm like, of course I want you guys on the podcast. And they're like, are you sure? Because their expectation was that I would have Ashwin Anirudh and the bunch on it, but I was like, guys, I've already had them on it, but you guys are the ones creating a lot of the stuff, which I think people need to hear how the process works.
So I
think that's been interesting. Like, so I keep evolving basis the people I speak to. I think my my podcast life helps me evolve my Instagram content.
Instagram life.
Yeah. So like stories, right? For instance, I would not spend as much time on stories. Like I use stories in for a lot of text, actually. I use a lot of text. So even before I put episodes out, for me, it's like that there at least going to be three stories with one long texting coming before I even put up the episode creative. And it's become one of those formats which I'm following, which I was considering making partly video as well. Like just like instead of just writing it, or maybe I should put it. But I'm finding different ways. Like you can put an image up and really write a long piece there. I don't know if I'm reading it, but I'm just experimenting. I look at the data though. What I've realized is I look at the data and I realize sometimes that some of the things which I thought was just random have the most traction. I have this one meme I shared, not even a meme. It was a comic strip I shared, which had like, I would think 10 times more engagement than anything else I'd ever put up. Amazing. And I was like, either it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I don't know. But yeah, so I think the good part is just kind of learn, right? And the whole point is just evolve with the platform. And also, I think it helps you find your voice over time.
Yeah, and we actually... Sorry, go ahead, Tara.
No, I was just going to say it's really interesting because I think everybody thinks of Instagram as a visual-first platform and it's transportive because it's visual and da-da-da. But it's the text stuff that does really, really well. Whether it's text on images and making them into memes or whether it's like these long text posts. And we see it in all kinds of contexts, right? Like when Me Too happened, for example, we were seeing a lot of narratives in text. When people want to speak up about things that really upset them or what they're unhappy with, they write long sort of authors of text, and I think it does really well. I think though the interesting thing is it does much better as text on stories or text in posts versus long captions below the image. I don't know. It's just something I've been realizing when I look at text, how much I gravitate to that kind of text versus text that's in the caption wala section. Yeah. But yeah, my two cents.
Yeah, no, I think in general also, I feel like this is the beauty of being creators. Like everybody has such an individual style. Like for some people, it is literally text. Like I was telling you earlier, the lot of creators I'm meeting who are younger, they just think video. But the fact that there is a space for like all of it is what is like really interesting. And I think just on the meme bit, because I think that's really been something that personally I feel has really kept me laughing over the last couple of weeks, because there is just this incredible sense of like humor and just, it's just so, it just hits you. And I think this is the content that you really end up sharing, where you're like, this meme like gets me, right? Like this is exactly how I'm feeling. Yeah. So I think that's a really fun thing we're seeing. I think it's just about picking up. I mean, we've always had these meme accounts, but now we're starting to see a lot more of that. So it's really fun. Like I'm really, and especially like, I think having your own Indian voice to it, I think is really, you know, becoming quite an exciting space for us to like watch out for.
You know, Indian voice is interesting, right? So there's this account called Nicotine, and I can't spell it right now. and Nikhil, who runs it, I was chatting with him, and how do you keep coming up with this stuff? Because I kept sharing his stuff, and he replied saying, thanks for sharing. Yeah. And he said, whenever I run out of ideas, I go watch Welcome again. And then he's like, and I went back and like, I realized all his jokes are from Welcome. I'm like, okay, now I get where this is coming. He has like one like backup option. Like, go, it's like Welcome, in, I guess, for today's meme makers, I've realized is the surely for all of us who worked at MTV and Channel V and tried to come up with jokes. We didn't have a joke, come up with a Thakur joke was our go-to in our time. But I guess for these guys, this is their frame of reference right now.
No, I was just going to add, like, one of the things I found really interesting last couple of weeks is that, you know, Kareena Kapoor has just come on Instagram a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, a lot of memers and like, she's just an inspiration, I think, across the board for like a lot of people.
Yeah.
And there were these really funny, like, poo kind of skits or memes that were coming up and people were tagging her. She's responding to some of them, you know, and that's insane. It's such a meta situation to happen. Yeah. And like, I remember the first folks who were commenting on her going live post were a bunch of meme accounts saying, we can't believe you're here. We can't believe you're here. So that's like really fun to see as well. Like even that engagement is like super fun to watch.
That's an interesting point, right? Because I think what it's also done is it's normalized celebrities for people.
Yeah.
Because you see them in their day-to-day life. Like, while there is obviously they are going to put up photographs doing all the stuff that they do after, I mean, obviously well shot and everything else done. I think from time to time you see some of those sparks of just generally how they are as individuals.
Yeah.
And that kind of helps. I think that's really what builds them out. I don't think the other stuff builds them out as much.
Absolutely.
As this. There was one more piece I wanted to hit on is that it's connected to everything that we kind of said, is that you have this platform called Born on Instagram.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought it up.
It kind of connects. I have my notes ready. All my points are written down here in front of me. Very well researched.
Yes, you are.
I take credit for it, but I will say very well researched. But how does that connect to all of these? I mean, we've spoken about a lot of things, so I think they all kind of connect in some way to this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Born on Instagram is basically a program that we're running across India. And, you know, pre-COVID, you know, we were actually going and taking this city by city across the country to kind of really go and talk to creators in every city and also really identify and work with like emerging creators, right? Kind of bring Instagram to your neighborhood and make it super accessible, make sure we are there with our training, we're there with our experts, and use that time to inspire and also really, you know, identify and sort of understand, you know, who is this that's really rocking Instagram in, say, you know, a Hyderabad versus a Calcutta versus a Kochi versus a Delhi. Because, you know, sometimes what happens is when, you know, especially a lot of times when, you know, these products sort of launched and started, you know, it became slightly metro focused, then it kept going deeper and deeper. And now I think we're really taking it out there, you know, ourselves as well. So I think from our perspective, Born on Instagram is really the program that's going to help us put together the entire Instagram story and make sure that with creators or folks who are sort of interested in, you know, they're already active. It's not like they're coming new to Instagram. It's just that, you know, how can we take their journey to the next level? And, you know, what role can we play to partner with them? So now in the current situation, we have pivoted it obviously virtually for the time being. So we're doing like an immersion and like a sort of a session, which we're going to hopefully have mid-April. I do believe registrations are still ongoing. So, you know, if people are interested, I'm happy to sort of share details around that, or Barun, you know, through you, we can share some more details. But we are looking at sort of really identifying the next set, you know, that will really work with us very closely on and kind of how where we can really support this journey and kind of identify the next set of emerging creators, you know, and whether they come from, you know, a smaller city or whether they're coming from a different genre or there's a niche that we sort of haven't really worked. We talked about memers, etc. Like, are there other niches of, you know, verticals that, you know, could be exciting? So it's really, you know, our sort of space to kind of really identify what is the next big thing on Instagram. So, I mean, we're pretty excited about that. And I think what really makes it special for me, because we were, you know, lucky enough to do a couple of these sessions before, before all the lockdown. And the energy is just incredible. Like, we've gone for like, and each session we've done has had about almost 200 to 50 creators who show up. completely like ready to collaborate. They are kind of meeting each other as well. Like, I think the other thing is that you don't even know who else is a creator in your city, right? Yeah. So if you're trying to break out, you don't even know like who else can I go with. So one, they're meeting each other, they're meeting us. There's this incredible energy through the day, and every city is very unique. So Chandigarh is very different from a Calcutta, you know, so you can see the energy is different. You can see the kind of creators are different, but they're all coming together because of their love for Instagram. And we are trying to just make sure that they're able to sort of continue on that path and, you know, whatever we can do to support them. So very excited about that. And I think despite, you know, the challenges right now, and of course we obviously are going to prioritize sort of everybody's health and safety, and, you know, we're taking a bit of a pivot on the program itself. We're also using this time to make sure that this community stays inspired, stays excited, you know, making sure that we are still able to share like tips and tricks. Like you said, it's a great time to work on your own skill. So use this time to kind of educate yourself, you know, and we're trying to like now move it in that direction. But hopefully once we finish the full year of Born on Instagram, you know, we will have, you know, not just, you know, activated a bunch of new creators and sort of made sure that we are in touch and we are supporting them, but also hopefully, you know, really figured out sort of, you know, what else can we do? Like, these are the guys who are also giving us a lot of insight on what we could do better. So, you know, it kind of works both ways in that sense. So yeah, very excited about that.
I think what could be great is to kind of get up. I think there are a bunch of these resources that we've spoken about.
Right? Yes.
One
yes.
is the fact that what we kind of give out to creators. And
correct.
These. I think it'd be great to kind of share this as well, because then I think and I think around the time when we do put this episode out, which is next week, it'd be great to kind of put this out. I think a lot of people are finding this a great time to create, like this.
Yes. Program.
And before we move into the most randomest part of every episode, I wanted to ask both of you, what are the things you should not do on Instagram, not just now but ever?
Sure. Yeah. Come on.
okay. I'll give it the honest version.
Yeah.
One is, please don't be stupid about your privacy. Rather, the polite version is be mindful about it. So everything from like password security to whom you allow in, we have this really nice feature called restrict, which is like a silent blocking, where the other person doesn't know you block them. When you block them, it's quite evident that you block them. So again, there are a few of these newer features that we've rolled out to help people have a more private experience or a feeling of ownership over their experience and letting some of the bad stuff out. That's one. I think the second one I'd just say is be kind. You know, it's rough right now. I think everyone is on edge. A lot of people are just not feeling good about things. It's very easy at this time to lash out at people, whether they are friends, family, or even other communities that you feel like are very different and alien to you. So I think just be kind and be there for each other. That's another thing. And then I guess given the situation we're in right now, is just like be mindful of what you're reading and be critical about what you're reading. So if you feel like something doesn't make sense, take that extra step to just vet it, to verify it, to check if from a friend or a family member if this sounds right to you. I think those are just three big tips I'd give right now, is just, again, think about your privacy and whom you let in and whom you don't let in. How to just be respectful and kind, and then again, be critical about the information that you're consuming right now, because it is tricky, you know, it's a challenging time. And then if it's okay with you, Varun, I just wanted to give just a couple of quick shout outs to some of our mental health helpline partners.
Yeah,
so if people feel like they want to reach out to somebody and just talk and, you know, work some stuff out. We have partnerships with the following organizations. So Samaritans Mumbai, it's a volunteer-based organization based in Mumbai. They are running on limited hours, but they are operational. Their Instagram is samaritans.mumbai, their handle. Another one is Fortis Mental Health. I know everyone knows Fortis Hospitals, but they have a 24-hour helpline and they have 14 languages that they support in India, so you don't have to only speak Hindi or English. Hopefully, they will have somebody that will be able to address your needs in your language. The other one is iCall. It's a helpline run by the Tata Institute of Social Sciences. They are also operating under on limited hours, but again, they're a great helpline partner. They are, you know, a sort of behemoth of an academic institution, so they have really good psychologists who man their phones. And the last one is not really a helpline, but it's this, you can look them up on Instagram, it's Vaisa_buddy, but they run a chatbot. a mental health chatbot, and basically you have a conversation with a very sweet looking penguin about how you're feeling, and it helps you just get out of that mood sometimes. So just a shout out to some of these amazing, amazing resources that are there for people to feel good about themselves and to feel okay about their mental health.
Perfect. I think that's a good set to kind of share. I think people really need that right now in terms of just being able to. I think a lot of people living alone especially are going through a lot of things in their mind. I mean, not just alone, but I guess in multiple situations, I think these kind of pieces are so important.
Yeah.
Did I just say Nirika? I said, sorry. This is what happens, right? Niharika, sorry. Happened by mistake. That was not intentional. What would you say are the things that, beyond what Tara said, that you should not do?
I think, you know, I think on Instagram specifically, like, there are obviously community standards that we follow, which is the kind of content that, you know, we definitely don't want on the platform. A lot of it is around, of course, misinformation being critical. Apart from that, also sometimes when there's content which shows like sexual exploitation, or there is, you know, a lot of, you know, say some child exploitation and things like that, it's, we've made our sort of standards very public. So everybody can see them. And the only time where we actually take action on content getting removed is if they violate community standards. So I think for me, that's really the advice we give partners as well, is then make sure that you're staying within those boundaries. Beyond that, of course, like Tara said, I think the idea is to kind of be extremely mindful about the people you're sort of speaking to. A lot of the creators have younger audiences as well, so making sure that they're sort of definitely keeping that in mind also. But, you know, it is a free space. We want it to be a place where you can express yourself. So unless it's really infringing on those standards, you know, we try and not take a very active stance on like sort of removing things, except, of course, in case of active misinformation, which could be harmful. So. Yeah. So sort of that's really the broad policy that we follow. In terms of things to do, like one quick shout out, we run an account called @creators. It's basically an account that Instagram globally runs for creators. And that has a lot of tips and tricks on what you can do. And, you know, what is, you know, and it also showcases a lot of great creators. And, you know, they talk about their sort of behind the scenes. They talk about what's really working for them. So while we will, of course, you know, hopefully be able to share some resources, but, you know, please encourage everybody to like follow that, because it really gives you a lot of like insight, and they run a bunch of challenges which they're opening up like globally, where, you know, other folks can also get featured. So yeah, that would be my top tip in terms of what you can do and you should do.
One last thing, sorry, Varun, is for those who are listening, if they go to about.instagram.com/community, there's a whole bunch of resources for people in terms of like how to stay safe, etc., and also a lot of information just about what's happening on the product. So I do encourage people to visit that.
Okay, super. Now, before we start winding up, this is a nice long episode. I'm happy about that. So we do this thing at the end of every episode. It's called The Humans of Advertising. It's my version of trying to be Karan Johar. It does not work most times, but it's never rapid. Let's see how that goes. What is, for each of you, your individual guilty pleasure on Instagram? What do you consume? God. We don't have to talk about accounts, but what is your general, like, what is that thing which you enjoy the most?
I do love memes, but I think genuinely what is my guilty pleasure, and this is like a bit of a strange one, is I really like, I had this whole phase of like vintage jewelry. I kind of went down this very deep Instagram rabbit hole about educating myself about it, and then sort of finding these crazy like eBay and Etsy sellers, you know, in the US who kind of curate a lot of that, and understanding sort of the stories behind it. And now I have, by the way, like another account which is literally only dedicated to like jewelry accounts, really? And especially vintage. Yeah, it's a problem. But it's like, it's such a great escape to like just go there and kind of like just spend your time and look at beautiful things and understand the history behind it. So, yeah, that's...
Tara, from the way you reacted, you did not know this. So I'm going to ask you.
No, I had no idea.
I'm going to ask you.
I knew the jewelry thing. I didn't know it had a dedicated account. I'm very excited. But I think for me, frankly, it's what, I mean, to be the ultimate Punjabi cliche, it's food and... food and food and food. But I love to, you know, everything from following people like the Top Chef community, which is this US-based reality TV show that I love. To even, like, I think my favorite account, which I also sent to Niharika yesterday, and she, I think, already follows her, is Mama K. Mama K Treats or Eats?
Yes, Mama K.
Treats, yes. Hmm. So Mama K Treats is a lady called Kanan Bala. I know her daughter. Her name is Kishi. She's a sort of professionally trained pastry chef. But her mom is just this, she's like your mom or my mom. Except she's a great cook, and she makes simple vegetarian galpa khana, usually from things that she's harvested from her terrace garden. And it's just worked out so well for me in life to be able to make things like, you know, hara pyaz paratha, if that floats in your mood, good rajma chawal. And it's just really good home style soul food.
It's like nostalgia in an account, probably. Right?
Yeah.
Because she typically has like a Saregama caravan thing playing in the background. So there's old Hindi music, and she's like taloing puris, and you're like, oh my god, this is the best.
I'm really into that. I love it. It's my sort of guide on how to make things good.
If I have to ask you, I mean, obviously one of you is going to get more time. So maybe because we started Niharika earlier, question, I'm going to start with you, Tara. What is the one thing you can put together in an instant?
What do you mean?
It could be anything. It could be food. It could be anything. Like, I've had the most random answers to this. So I always ask this question. I say, what can you put together in an instant?
A dinner party.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That is
like WhatsApp group and Zomato, guys. I'm big on impromptu plans. So I like those.
Niharika, how about you?
Good question. I think what I can definitely go very, I can have an opinion in an instant. Does that matter? Even if it's half day. I go very headfirst into conversations, I've realized. And, you know, I kind of figure out where I'm going somewhere along the way. But if you ask me a question, I will come up with something, whatever that is. Good or bad, I don't know. So I think getting into a conversation, I guess. I feel like I do like talking to people, and I do feel that if I was to put in a spot, I can start a conversation.
Basically, you're saying you're a professional bullshitter.
Pretty much. That should be on my card, potentially. Yeah.
When I was in college, my professor told me that you will enter this media industry and it will be 99% bullshit and people only know 1%. So that's all you need to learn anyway. So I don't know why he was so cynical about it. But I mean, I've realized that what he said was not untrue.
But I feel like that's also what I like about, sorry to come back to Instagram, but the creators that I follow, I follow them for the random rambles, you know, and I really love that.
So, yeah.
And that's also a joy.
So I'm a Dwayne Johnson stalker on Instagram. I'm a major Dwayne Johnson stalker. I am like, I have to go to his account 4 times a day, every day. I have, I think, about 4 accounts, very weirdly, very random. First set, there's, I have Dwayne Johnson. There is this guy called Matt Fraser, who's the CrossFit champion for the last 4 years. Because I'm one of those weird people who watches CrossFit like a sport and not necessarily, I've never been to a CrossFit box, but I've watched it like a sport. I have this knack for trying to find philosophy accounts, and I will go to those, and I don't know why, but that's I will go to those from time to time. And there is one guy who started an account which is bizarre. It's called Just Here to Ruin Your Day. And every single post is like, you know, he's going to ruin things, right? But you still want to go and see what he comes up with. Like that, I love that one.
Have you seen Influencers in the Wild? I think it'll be really up your alley.
I'm going to check that.
It's basically people who are catching influencers shoot content in the wild, and it's hilarious. You have to check it out. Yeah.
And before we wind up, either of you all listen to a lot of podcasts? Or
I just started listening to podcasts, but Niharika, you go first.
So between podcasts and books and music, any recommendations? Or rather, I wouldn't want you to recommend an account to follow, because I don't know if that's a good thing to ask you or not. I don't want you to sound biased.
No,
but you can.
I don't know.
What would you recommend? I would just leave it at that. What would you recommend amongst this wide array that I've given you to recommend from?
On the podcast front, it's very it's very disturbing, but I did it as an education exercise, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Was something called Hunting Warhead. It mm-hmm. is about the dark web and the deep web and how basically one the world's biggest child sexual abuse racket was busted, and the mind behind that investigation and the mind behind that network. It's not for everyone. It's fairly disturbing. But I found it just absolutely fascinating and terrifying at the same time. And it was the first podcast I'd ever listened to, so it just the format blew my mind.
Wow, that's like a hardcore one to start with.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think the first podcast I heard, which I think got me into podcasts, though I'm not super regular, is The Serial, which I think most people have heard. But in case you haven't, it's a great first podcast to start with because it's really engaging and it really... Very
good. I just realized I'm such a liar. The first podcast I listened to was Serial, and then I listened to Hunting Warhead.
I think that's for everyone. So I think that's like a great first podcast to, I think, start with, because at least that worked for me. The other one that I really recommend is Modern Love. I love Modern Love as a column. I love the podcast. I love the show. Everything about Modern Love is amazing. So, if you need something happier to hear, or even sometimes very heartbreaking and sad, but like super human, I think that's great.
So I'm not a romantic movie person, but I love that podcast, and actually even liked what Amazon Prime did with the show.
It's not bad. I was so worried they're going to it was pretty good. And the last thing I'd recommend, because I feel like we're all in this major content sort of glut right now, is a movie I just recently discovered that is on Amazon, which I saw on a flight a couple of months ago. It's called The Death of Stalin. It's very, I think most people haven't seen it, but it is actually, it's hilarious. It's like this black comedy. It's very, very well made. So I have been recommending it like to everyone. So why not here?
Yeah.
And why will advertising not die? It's a random final question, but yes. I always ask this question. I've gotten really like random responses as always.
So, if I can go first,
please.
Just to talk about that Fruity ads, the Fruity campaign that I saw. When I saw that Fruity campaign, it made me think a little bit of that episode of Mad Men. I think it's in the first season, the Kodak
carousel.
The first episode, yeah.
Yes.
I saw it and it was just such a special feeling. I sound so glib right now, but I felt like tingles and goosebumps. And I feel like when good advertising happens and it does that, it just blows my mind. So I feel like that feeling will never go away. And the desire for romance, not romance, but nostalgia and just relevance, or the feeling that this is my story or could be my story. I think that never goes away, which is why I love, which is good advertising in my opinion. There's what's bad also.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, first of all, can I just say, like, Donald Draper is a professional bullshitter. So I clearly am not in that league. There is one person who is one, that's him. But I agree with that. I think, advertising at its best is a good story, and stories will not die. So that is why advertising will not die.
Thank you so much for doing this. This has been fun. I hope it was fun for both of you.
Can I ask you, why do you think advertising will not die? Sorry to just drag this on, but...
Why do I think so?
Huh.
So that I have a day job. I literally that is literally why I don't. But I honestly think the word advertising now is a bizarre word to use.
I agree. It doesn't define it. Yeah,
it's a dirty word. No, it's a little like seeing influencer.
It's like when I talk about my day, I work in an agency. I think the word agency itself is redundant, right? I mean, like we are an agency because I asked someone the other day. I asked Anant Rangaswamy, right? I mean, obviously he's been reporting on this space for a long time. And I said, is there any other word? He's like, that's the shortest word you can cover. I mean, tell me another word that's simple enough to explain all the things that involve it. And you can change it. And I said, okay, that's true. Actually, you can't, like, that is literally the right way to put it. Till someone comes up with something better. Like, till someone came up with creator, people call themselves filmmaker and this.
Correct.
So, we'll have to find a creator equivalent for agency at some point.
Yeah. Correct.
This is the most important question of all. How many times have you been asked how many times are you asked in a day or in a week to verify someone's account?
At least once a day.
Yeah, I think we've lost count. I think this is the most
asked
question. Nobody really cares beyond is for a lot of things. But yeah, this is definitely the most asked question. And you can apply for it directly, by the way, from your account. So feel free to do that. And do understand that verification does not mean anything in terms of distribution, or you can be a very successful creator without having that blue tick. So don't let that be something.
Can I just say the one very limiting thing about verification is that you can't change your username. You have to, you have to stick with your username. So tomorrow, if you decide to shift it, it becomes tricky if you're a verified account.
Just putting it out there, I applied for verification. I have not got it, but I'm not asking for it on the... I said I will not ask on the podcast. I seem to have asked for it on the podcast, but I will not go there. Thank you so much for doing this.
This was amazing. Thank you so much, Varun, for having us.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks.
And that's it for this episode of Advertising Instead. I forgot that. I always forget that.